I wish I can come there and give you a hug, sir, because your computer's broken. Have you tried to turn your computer on and off, sir? Are you fucking kidding me, sir? Have I tried to turn my computer on and off?
My laptop is in the East River. How could I possibly turn it on?
I'm on fire because my computer blew up, and I got shards of computer glass on my face. I'm so sorry that your glass, your face is burning, sir. What is the secret password, sir? I'm burning, bitch. No, that is not the password.
Are you spelling bitch with a B?
B as in bitch, I as in itch, T as in testicle, C as in cunt, H as in horny.
I'm going to do that next time.
P as in pneumonia.
What the fuck? God damn it.
What the fuck? No more at the end.
What do you... No more... What?
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard that magnificent intro, so you know what time it is. It's time for the loveliest, leanest, funniest podcast that's happening right now in your ear hole. It's Decoding 40, and I am your humble host this week, back in the big chair. This is your boy, L.O., and I am joined by two of the most authenticious podcasters in the business, and they go by the names of...
What's up? What's up? It's your boy Vin in the building, and ostentatious sounds disrespectful. I'm going to take it as such. Hope everybody's cool out there and chilling.
This is Alaric.
It's A, like authenticious. All right. So before
that says it's super, super fragilistic. Let's be allidocious, nigga.
B, as in psychologist.
I hit him with the Mary Poppins and just start singing. I think I may have to do that on one of those days when I'm really irritated. I have to talk to, because if I have to talk to an agent or a representative, something didn't go right in the chat or on the app. So that means I'm already irritated.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's do a little bit of housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
If you want to give us a call or a text, the number is 619-940-4040. If you want to send us snail email, Decoding40@gmail.com. If you want to check out the latest and greatest that's happening in the world of Decoding 40, go to decoding40pod.com. If you are so inclined to check us out on Instagram, TikTok, or any of the other social media platforms, please do so at Decoding 40. If you're a small business or another platform that wants to do some cross-pollination, please reach out to us. We would be more than happy to have that conversation. Any of the ways or avenues to reach us would be a great way to start that conversation. You guys want to add anything else before we get started?
Sorry we missed you guys last week, but we're back and we're recording on a late night. So we're not drunk. We're just tired.
Well, speak for yourself. Well, I'm not drunk.
4.5 hours. I need a drink.
He's like, whoa. Hold my beer. Hold my whiskey. Yes,
we do apologize for the gap in shows. We hate to do that because I know you came looking for us. But, you know, still go pick up some merch. And that'll keep us on the airwaves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Support a hungry podcast.
No doubt.
Let's start the check-in.
It's going to be short. No diddy. Well, I really don't have much to say. I'll probably just get right into the weather. Since that's my new thing, the weather. No, work is work. Work is working. Again, I'm out in the field. Been doing some different hours. Was working AMs and I was working PMs last week. I'm not a fan of PMs. I am a fan of AMs. I'm realizing that at 50 years old, it is very difficult to change schedules and adjust to the time differences. And my legs and my feet and my back and my organs just don't work the same anymore. My new best friend is Tylenol Extra Strength. 500, two capsules of that, you don't feel anything. but
joining us now, the top New York meteorologist, Vincent Perez. Good morning, Vincent. How are things looking?
Actually, honestly, been enjoying the weather. It's been beautiful in New York. A little rain here and there, but the weather's nice. I do like this time of the year. Right before it gets blistering hot, the breeze and everything is always dope for me.
Yesterday, I got a chance to hang out with Elle, and we went out for breakfast. Shout out to my man, Billy. You know, always is a pleasure, always comes through for us. And after that, we went to the Black Men's Health Expo in Brooklyn. And that was really, really dope. It was a dope experience. We actually ran into Lincoln. Shout out to Lincoln, a.k.a., you know, 176 Posse from back in the day. So we saw Lincoln, ran into Lincoln and some other couple people that we know. And had a really good time, a really good experience. That last exercise that they had us do where they had us, you had to sit with your person next to you. And Elle was with Lincoln. I was sitting next to a gentleman named Matthew. And I'll never forget this guy's name because the exercise was kind of crazy. He had us look into each other's eyes for 2 minutes and really analyze each other. And it's extremely uncomfortable to look into another man's eyes.
To look into anybody's eyes,
but a man's eyes particularly, because I don't know. I like the way that felt. But it was an exercise in vulnerability. And then we were asked to say something about yourself, as like you're addressing your inner child.
Right.
And that was a good experience. I think that's an exercise that anyone can do. In particular, because it was a Black Men's Expo, a health expo, I would say for Black men of color too, put a mirror in front of your face and really talk to yourself, address the inner child, because we all have the inner child inside of us, and we have survived our childhood in one way or another. And I think it's important to address those issues. I think now, especially in 2024, with everything that goes on an everyday basis, we all have some form of PTSD. You need to address your mental health. I think it's important that you, if you can afford it, get a therapist. If you cannot, get a mirror and look into the mirror and look into your eyes and have a conversation with yourself. And, you know, try to get everything. Anything that's internal, you know, deal with it. And they also had free massages, which I was mad I didn't get one. And they had one of those health trucks out there that was taken. I guess they were doing maybe tests on diabetes or, you know, giving people physicals, blood pressure, things of that nature. And they had pamphlets. So I look forward to doing it again because they do have a round table type of thing every month. And it was very good to sit down with, you know, brothers that you don't know and really have conversations and not have to worry about there's going to be beef. It was that energy was not even close to being there, which is always good. And it's always a good time to sit down and talk with people who are like-minded and adults as you are.
Right. Was this the same group that we went to a function that they had?
But there's a lot. There's a lot of the same brothers that attended that conversation.
Okay.
Who were attending there, because I saw a lot of faces that I recognize. But I wanted to sort of echo what Vin was saying about the exercise that we had at the end of the panel discussion. It is very difficult to look at someone and not look away for 2 minutes, because one, you feel like you're undressing them, and then at the same time you feel like they're undressing you. And not, I don't mean physically, but I mean, and we're in New York, so we avert direct eye contact as much as possible. And I wanted to just call out something that Lincoln said that was so powerful to me. He said, as a child, you're able to have just a vast amount of freedom and you don't really know what your limitations are. And it's not until you grow up and become a man and you have all these responsibilities where you come to feel like your worth is determined by how much or what you can give someone.
Yeah.
And when that is the overriding factor, it is somewhat, and I'm paraphrasing at this point, but it's somewhat stifling, and it's difficult to deal with at times, particularly when you're in a space where you can't be the provider or you can't provide as much or the finances are out of whack. So I appreciate Lincoln opening up to me within those 2 minutes. And I shared with him the same thing, basically that I would have told myself, or I would tell my inner child, to not have worried as much. Mm-hmm. And that you will be okay, and you are okay. And the things that have happened to you, some they should not have happened, and others you had to go through in order to be the man that you are today. And again, I think if you can't afford to go to therapy, take some time to really sit down with yourself. If looking in a mirror helps you focus, look in the mirror so you can look directly into your own eyes and your own face, and just take time to recognize yourself. Mm-hmm. And see you for who you are in a moment. I went to the Black Beauty Club, and they had made a similar sort of recommendation that I don't know if anybody, if you have a regimen in terms of like particularly cleaning your face, actually take time to wash your face and look at your face and embrace who you are and make it something where it's a ritual in terms of the cleansing of your palette, so to speak, and how the world sees you. So I think all these moments and all these touch points are so valuable and so important. So yeah, I was very glad that we went. I almost backed out, but Ben was like, man, if you don't get your ass out of the house.
Exactly. I was like, man, because listen, we all go through trying times, right? We're all in the struggle. So I was like, man, if you don't get your ass out this house, we're gonna have free breakfast. The breakfast is free. The event is free.
Right.
Like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? But shout out to like the guy Matthew. And just to kind of echo what you just said, L, no matter where you are in America, you share similar experiences growing up within our generational time, right? So I'm gonna go from 35 to 50, right? So in that age range, we all kind of grew up with similar type of, you know, go out until the lights come back on. There was like a hands-off type of parenting that we received that allowed us to see a lot more than we were supposed to. We were exposed to a lot more because we grew up, a lot of us, and talking about me and you guys, we grew up during the crack era. We saw crack era. We saw a lot of shit. We were exposed to a lot of shit. So a lot of what we were saying to each other all had similar sounds to it, or just similar stories. Mm-hmm. Right. And I wound up sharing with dude, and I was like talking about just being a kid and being, you know, having my brother who was autistic, and then being a child who had to grow up faster than I might want to grown up as. And then also dealing with, you know, maybe not getting listened to or acknowledged as a kid because a lot of the attention went on my brother, and I was just expected to know things and do things based on, because I was not autistic.
Right.
So I shared this stuff with him, and then dude, like, he kind of like wiped his eye and was like, yo, that shit was kind of deep. And I was like, I didn't mean to invoke any emotion, but it's just my story. It was, and both of us had those, it's going to be okay though, because what else is there, right? Shout out to that, man. Go ahead.
I wanted to touch on the direct eye contact thing, because it doesn't matter whose eyes you're looking at. Because I know you said it was worse with men, but it doesn't really matter whose eyes you're looking at. Because if you're looking at somebody and you're looking intently, but you're not saying anything, it gets uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It gets uncomfortable because, yeah, it is vulnerable. And I like what they're doing. I wish I could have gone to this event, but I went to, Elle and I went to another event last year, and it was an environment where Black men were able to be vulnerable with each other. And that is counter to everything we've ever learned as men and as Black men, because vulnerability is a liability, right? Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to do that because someone's going to take advantage of you. Someone is going to, you show a little crack in the armor and you're going to get got, right?
No doubt.
So the idea of us feeling safe around each other, I love that. That's going to help us tremendously and help generations after us tremendously, knowing that we can do that.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, before I end my check-in real quick, and to say what you just, to add to what you just said, Rick, I went to the bathroom, right? And I'm in the bathroom And I hate when you go to the bathroom, they have these like remote faucets. And every time I put my hand by the sensor, the motherfucking water never comes on, right? Or the soap never dispenses. Something's always wrong with these things, right?
It's racist. So there's a,
they are racist.
I don't know what it is, right? I'm not going to clean your fucking black hands, right? That's what I, in the voice I'm hearing in my head. So there's a guy.
It's, just
there.
It's not a hand. It's just a shadow.
It's just a shadow. So, the fucking, there's a guy sitting there. We start talking about it and we're laughing about the shit. And it was just like, you know, general conversation. But then like, as we're leaving, the guy's still talking to me and he, you know, he puts out his hand, hey, my name is such and such. And for like a half a second, I forgot where I was. The fact that we're in this community type of situation is this was all about, is kind of letting your guard down and just having conversations. And I, for half a second, like, I don't need to know your motherfucker. In my mind, I don't need to know your fucking name. I said something funny and that's it. Now keep it moving. I don't want any insurance, you know, but I don't want anything you're selling. But
I ain't buying it.
I ain't buying it. I don't believe in Jehovah. Get away. But no, seriously, though, it's hard to do. And, you know, I had a great time this Saturday, and we stopped by Bed Vines, had a couple beers, you know, did some people watching, and ironically, the same people that we saw at the expo wound up coming through to Bed Vines. So dope time this weekend, and that's pretty much my check-in, fellas.
Merch drop.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? This has been from Decoding 40, letting you know about Decoding40Pod.com. That's right, Decoding40Pod.com. That's our new site that's got all our merch on it. Decoding40Pod.com.
Decoding40Pod.com.
Well, I'm back home. Last week I was in Ohio, which also contributed to our scheduling issues. So if you've listened to previous episodes, I have not had the best time in the state of Ohio, but this time was different. The hotel was actually in Parkersburg, West Virginia, but we were shooting in, I don't remember, but Ohio is just over the border. It's like 20 minutes away from the hotel.
So you're in East Ohio, Eastern Ohio.
Maybe. I couldn't smell any Trump supporters. Like it wasn't in the air. It wasn't wafting through the air. So it because the closest town, it was kind of like a old town. It felt like they used to be maybe an industrial center, but then, you know, maybe whatever industry left. But now it's like,
That's just Ohio.
Old historic buildings that somebody, you know, these younger folks found, and, you know, they're making it cute, right? So it's probably a little bit more of a progressive town. So I liked it. It was cool. I didn't mind. It was amazing. Like the beauty of this part of the country, it's wild, because there's no way I ever would have seen any of this stuff if I wasn't working on this show. And I feel like there's a lot more that I need to investigate. Like, I really want to take road trips and like drive through some of these areas and really explore more, because all these mountains, and you're seeing the sky in a way you cannot see it in New York. You cannot see the sky in the same way because the buildings are so tall and you just don't have a clear view of the skyline. And when you guys have gone to the mountains, right, and climbed the top of hills, and the way you see the sky is different, right? And so I'm really taking to this part of the country. Not that I want to live there. I'm not ready for that.
It's a nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live here.
Yeah.
But I've always described Ohio as the armpit of America.
We need armpits, but I don't want to look at
it. Yeah. I did a 3-year bid there.
It's not a fresh armpit either. It's not freshly washed. It's
0 stars, would not recommend.
Yeah. I still wouldn't recommend Ohio, but there are some places along the Appalachia I would recommend. So let's see. Yeah, I wasn't able to join you guys yesterday, unfortunately, because I was handing out quarters in the laundromat, which is, you know, my new part-time job. It's not fun, but there's one thing that has been boggling my mind, and this happens every so often, where someone will come into the laundromat, they will wash their clothes, they will dry their clothes, and then they never come back. Like, their clothes are there. They're fully dry, and they just never come back.
Please give this to the clothes drive.
This happens every so often. Because
maybe they get sucked into a vortex or something like that.
I want to know what happened to them.
Maybe they're not actually from Earth.
I'm so fucking curious. Did this person go home?
Death just catches them.
Yeah, they went home between the waiting for their clothes to dry, and they died in their sleep while they were taking a nap, and then their clothes are still here. What or they got?
I figured it's got to be a couple of those.
Fucking death just shows up like, you ain't gonna need them clothes, nigga. I gotta get back.
You're not gonna go back. No, don't worry about that.
Don't worry about it. It's a
mystery. Like, I want to create a show about being a detective trying to find the person that owns the clothes left at the laundromat and what happened to them.
You can call the show Wash and Die with a question. Washed and died.
That's actually pretty interesting to try to locate the owners of clothes left at the laundromat.
Yeah. I get to see like Columbo.
Because
your clothes in there.
Because you know there's a story. You didn't just forget that you went to the laundromat.
Imagine
you didn't forget which laundromat you went to.
Imagine if they did.
Yeah.
Like, yo,
hold up. What if it's the same two people that come every other month and they have like those episodes where they forget and then they get home and they go, I gotta buy brand new clothes.
Memento.
Have you
seen the movie Memento? It's with Guy Pearce. He has a condition where he can only remember things for like 5 minutes. When the five minutes passes, he forgets everything. So he has to write
everything down.
So he writes everything down, but he gets confused. Maybe this is, oh man, that would be amazing.
I was thinking maybe they bought a scratch off on their way home and they won like $1 million and they're like, fuck those clothes. I got
all of these stories are possibilities. That's why this makes such a great concept.
Yeah, but it happens every so often. So since I've been more present in the laundromat, there's at least three people who have come, washed their clothes, put them in the dryer, dried them, and just never came back.
Oh, wow. You got to give them the buzzers like at Applebee's. When their clothes are done, it just goes off.
I don't know, man. I don't know how you just walk away from all your clothes. Like, what the fuck? Yeah, I don't know what's in there.
They dry the clothes. They could leave it in the washer and not come
back. Yeah. But
they left it in the dryer, though.
They spent the money to wash and dry.
Maybe. Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's more considerate to me. That means you actually could just go ahead and just donate the clothes.
Now, so, did you get a look at any of these people that did it?
Nah, you're not paying attention because people come in, they wash, and they dry. It's not until somebody doesn't come back, then you're like, who?
You got to get a camera.
Close these.
You got to get a ring.
You don't have a camera in there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you check the videotape, man.
Yeah. Can you check the playback?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh my god, yeah, we just man.
That's how you solve the mystery.
Shit. All right.
I didn't want to solve the mystery. I just like fucking asking the question.
This show's no longer.
They come back for their clothes. This shit's going in the garbage. We're gonna send it to India wherever it goes. Uganda.
Send it to a local shelter.
No, there's a donation bin like down the block. That's where it usually goes.
Shit smells like fucking fresh.
I was gonna say it's kind of counterproductive to have washed and dried the clothes just to put it in an outside bin so it can be dirty again.
I'm gonna go with the conspiracy theory that they walk out the laundromat and enter into a portal and they're lost forever.
I like that.
That's a good show.
Or what if they're just menace? They just want to do that just to piss people off.
Yeah.
I'm gonna wash my shit, dry my shit, and just leave it.
Never come back.
Cause it's not even not even their clothes.
Yeah. Right. Shit, it could be a murder, someone who got murdered's clothes. You know, the fucking killer. He's trying to wash all the evidence off and just leaves
all the clues.
Okay, the show is back on.
It's back on.
That's hilarious. Can you imagine somebody just stealing somebody's clothes, or if it's someone who's been murdered and their clothes?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's good.
So we've been having the hardest time finding somebody to fill in for the old guy who quit, because it's not really a glamorous job. I don't know if you guys, you know, figured that out, but it's not really a glamour position. And it doesn't pay very well because you're not doing very much. But did I tell you about the first interview?
Yeah,
with the woman and the daughter?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So interview number two was a guy who was introduced to me by the guy that I hired to sweep up outside.
Mm-hmm.
So he sweeps up outside in the morning, but he doesn't speak very good English. He just got here from Nigeria. He's not comfortable with currency or talking to people. So he's like, I don't want to work inside. I'll just sweep up outside and then I'll go find something else to do. Fine. But he said he knew someone who needed a job. He called me and put the guy on the phone. I said, all right, I will be there I'll be there at 12:30. Come see me. We'll talk and, you know, we'll see if it's a fit. So 12:30 rolls around. The guy doesn't show up. 3:30. He walks in. He's like, oh, it's me. I was like, all right, strike one. You're fucking late as hell.
4 hours late.
Wait, here's his excuse. Wait for it. I fell asleep. I overslept. I was like, oh, okay. Strike number two. Okay. Dang. He's a young guy. He's probably.
Is he American?
No, he has a Caribbean accent. He kind of sounded Jamaican, but probably he's been here for a while or from another Caribbean. It was a watered-down Caribbean accent. So I couldn't pin it.
I was sleeping.
It wasn't hard. It wasn't a hard one. But probably undocumented, because he lives in the same house as the undocumented guy who sweeps outside.
Oh, so another series.
Undocs.
Tales of the Undocumented. So he's talking to me now. And I'm like, clearly, this guy is a fucking high as hell on marijuana. Like,
nice.
It's so clear. And when I went to shake his hand when he was leaving, he didn't want to shake with his right, because I assume he was still holding the joint in that hand. He didn't even want me to see it. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? This is probably not going to work out. But thanks for coming in. I appreciate it. You know, see ya and bye.
Did he say,
I don't know.
My light?
Huh?
Hold on. You're not going to give me the job. You make me come here 3 hours late. I could have been boning a spliff and you waste my time. I want the job, sir. I just smoke a lick of weed. So what? It's legal.
Wow.
I have cataracts. I have glaucoma.
I just think people just don't really, they don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck.
Nobody gives a fuck anymore.
I don't know if they're even thinking about putting on at least a good face just to get the job. Then be a fuck up. Yeah. Don't come in a fuck up. Don't not.
Take me as I am.
Yeah, that's exactly what he was saying. Like what El said. He was like, look, I smoke weed. I come late. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Well,
if you like it, I love it.
All the things that I don't really want right now.
Yeah, because you'd be coming up short $20 every day.
Exactly.
Which seeds all in the on the floor of the laundromat.
Fucking Dutch guts inside the washing machines.
People complaining about their wash.
Fucking Nick bags everywhere, nigga.
Every time I wash my clothes, it smells like weed. It smells like weed.
Hold on, they black wild guts in the inside of there.
So
I had one more person that came in. I came in the door. I was getting ready to go into the office. This woman approaches me. She's saying, you know, I heard you were looking for somebody. I just came here from Trinidad. I've only been here for a month. I'm looking for a job. You know, I just stay with my cousin. They're just a couple blocks away. You know, I really, really need a job. I'm like, okay, you know, I had, this was before I had somebody else coming in. And I was like, well, this person already approached me about the job, but if it doesn't work out with them, then I'll call you. Like, I get home 8:30 at night. She's like texting me, don't forget. I'm like, all right, cool. Didn't work out with the other person. So I called her and I said, look, show up at 9 o'clock. The woman that works there in the morning, she'll show you what to do. You hang out with her, just follow her. And then if it works for you, then, you know, we'll try you out. Because I was going to be out of town. So that means that it closes at noon every day if I didn't find another person. And she came in for 2 hours and she's like, nah, this ain't for me.
Wow.
Well, I'm like, okay. Well, you were here washing clothes. You saw what she did before you, and you approached me. Like, I thought you.
What did you think it was going to be?
I don't know.
Oh, I would have loved to hear that. Like, where's my laptop?
Not glamorous enough for me. I'm like,
where's the kabooch?
Maybe she thought it was an elevated position that, you know, you're handing out quarters and you show people how to close the washing machine.
She's like, well, I'm going to be the CEO of the laundromat. So I'm just letting y'all niggas know that I'm moving up. I am the CEO of coin distribution. I am the president of coin distribution in the wash and dryer, nigga.
She's the vice president of coin distribution.
No, wow. I am the CEO of coin distributions. Fuck that VP because the CEO gets more money.
And lint reallocation.
Yeah. So what else you do today? Well, I make sure that the machines are free of leftover clothes, and I make sure there's no lint in the traps.
So, yeah, this is the hell I'm in. The search continues. This is the hell I'm in. Oh, also, the old man that quit sent a message through the woman that works in the morning that he'll come back.
But
I don't know what the but is. I don't really care. I don't really care. Like, I would if he comes and talks to me, I will hire him back because I'm sick of this shit.
You know he's going to be on some bullshit, though.
But I want $2 more an hour, sir. We get off. Health plan. Dental.
If he's sending messages through somebody else, he needs it. So I'm going to put him under pressure.
No, he's just using back channels.
Yeah. He said, he probably said, you know what, Beatrice? I bet you the place's falling apart now, isn't it? Because I'm not there. No one can distribute coins like I can.
Revenues are
I know what you need before you pull out your money.
I'm the Colonel Carter.
Well, you know what this
I'm General Dreyer.
I am Quarter King.
I am General Dreyer.
Quarter King.
This guy was, I would come around and it'd be like 5:30. And the place is already closed. You can't make any money if you're closed.
Wait,
already.
What time is it supposed to close?
8 o'clock is the close time. So the last wash is 6:30. 5:30 is closed. This is why I'm not fucking with you like that. If I come around and I look, you didn't sweep this for days.
That's going to be one of his contingencies. He's going to need siesta time around 5:30.
Yes, it's not.
He's on European time.
We're trying to make it as attractive as possible so we can sell this thing. And if it looks like it's making more money, then it's going to make it more attractive. And if you're closing at 5:30, it's not going to work. Can't do it. But what else, dude? I want to talk about. This is more of a rant than anything else because I'm kind of sick of these celebrities. Who are, I don't know what, they're just talking out of their asses. I just recently saw Amber Rose had endorsed Trump, right? And I don't really follow the pop and celebrity gossip, but the shit is, to me, that is dangerous because Amber Rose doesn't research. She doesn't know who he is or his policies, but her influence is too wide reaching for her to be so cavalier with this. Stop doing this, celebrities. Stop
all
doing
the strippers
this.
That are going to vote for Trump now?
Pretty much.
Young 18-year-olds. Look, Amber, when you had your slut walk, I supported you because I felt like you knew what you were talking about. I felt like you
that's were experienced. On you. That's on you.
You were experienced in this area. You know, you knew what you were talking about. Mm. You know, and I am fully in support of women being completely in charge of their completely in charge of their sexuality and you
their agency.
Yes. I'm in complete support of that. But now you've stepped over into an area that I think you had no business being in. And I'd really like you to, you know, just shut up. Just go back to quiet. I mean, why is anyone listening to you? I hate that it's even news. I hate that somebody's even reporting on it because you're known for being somebody's girlfriend and a baby mom for someone else. That's your claim to fame.
I'm sure she got a check.
Yep, just like Sexy Red and the rest of these rappers who are endorsing this motherfucker now.
Yeah, I don't even acknowledge that happened because I don't even know who. I don't know who she is. Anyway,
I hate it all.
Yeah, just you know, it's dangerous to this country, and it's going to be more harmful to the people that you claim to be protecting or you have interest in helping. So, just. Stay out of that shit, you know. Just do your OnlyFans, and we'll be more than happy with that. And that's my check-in.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What's good, people? This is Alaric. If you like the show, then make sure you subscribe to Decoding 40 on IG, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, Tumblr, Reddit, Tumblr. Did I say Tumblr? Fluger. That's new. It's brand new. Just came out. Flug. Etsy, Pinterest, Friendster, Hamster, Ex-Hamster. Oh, wait, that's my private account. Don't follow that. Decoding
40. I had a random thought. I was on my way to go take care of some errand, whatever it was. But in elementary school, we had a blind Russian kid who joined our class. And I just was thinking how odd it must have been for this Russian kid who barely spoke English to be in a classroom with all black, all brown kids, not really know English, be blind.
God damn.
And we probably smelled like a buffet of soul food and Spanish food.
Why do I keep smelling black beans and black eyed peas?
Fried chicken.
What is that smell? Fried chicken. It smells good. Cocoa butter is everywhere.
I was wondering, like, what memories did he leave that school with other than these kids smell delicious? Because I know he wasn't eating what we were eating.
Every time I go home, I smell the same shit. When I go to school, I smell fried chicken, cocoa butter.
Right. Cocoa butter.
Lotion.
And then I thought, like, what is he doing now?
I imagine he grew up to be that blind rapper on, 106 in Park, when they had the battle raps on Friday.
That would be hilarious. That would be hilarious.
You don't see me
remember
coming.
His name. I could not remember his name.
Vladimir.
It's not Vladimir, but it's something in there. It's something in that range.
Pachinko?
Nah, but if you keep going, I'm sure you'll find it. Beauty. Let's see. I have a little rant. Can we stop? Just as a culture, as a people, as human beings on this planet who share the same air and water, can we stop with the videos with white people and mostly women and mostly American talking about how poor their hygiene is? Like, okay, we get it. You don't wash your legs. You don't use washcloths. You don't wash your hands after using the bathroom. And even I saw one video, they were like, even after taking a dump, they don't wash their hands. I was like, who is this benefit?
That's why their babies got wingworm and all types of fucking diseases on their face.
I think that the one that said that she didn't use toilet paper.
Right. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I think that was a troll. There's no way.
I would hope so. Because if you're not wiping your ass and then you taking a shower without a washcloth, you just got crusty ass.
Yeah. And you're barely washing your body. So you are just walking around here as a non-hygienic menace.
Yeah. Everybody's like, hey, new diseases. You know, Barbara stank.
Barbara, do you wash your pussy or not? Because this smells like a fish dinner in here, Barbara. Barbara, are you eating fish or is that your pussy?
And then this is the wild thing. So
that was like a motherfucking Harlem fish sandwich in this motherfucker.
That's that's why they brought her on the show. They baited her.
Not a Harlem fish sandwich. But then these are the same people who want to put their hands inside the food, like when there's like a buffet at your office or something.
Oh, this is delicious. Those are the motherfuckers who bring whatever cake they bring, and when they slice the cake, they lick their fingers because they got the icing, and then they go back and touch the slice the cake again and touch it with the licked finger.
Yes.
And they keep doing that. So the only slice that might be safe, if you got to be the first motherfucker on that line, and better pray and hope that they wash their hands before they touch the cake.
I know this is going to sound racist, but it's really not. Like, this is my real world observation with my own eyes. 95% of the men I see use the bathroom and just walk out as if sinks and soap don't exist. 95% of them are white men. I have never seen a black person not stop. Not to say that white men don't wash their hands, because I would say most do, or a lot do.
See, I was going to say, you can't be at 90% and then say most do.
No, I'm saying 90% of the people that I see walk out without even acknowledging a sink or soap exists.
They just point at that shit.
Like, gotcha. Look at you over there.
Look at you sink. All shiny and shit.
Yeah, it's really out of control.
They walking around with wingworm and all that other shit on their fingertips.
Like, right. And on one hand, I'm glad they are reaffirming why we should be very leery of people, particularly when we're around food, shaking hands. Like, I think we talked about before, fist bumps are even not appropriate. Like, elbow bumps are like what's in. And I think these people are just reinforcing that.
Well, if I elbow bump you, that means I've seen your nastiness.
Right. Oh, I suspect it.
You can't walk out of a store.
I'm just waving. I'm waving at you from across the room.
In case it crawls up my arm.
Yeah. There you go. Hey.
You can't walk out of a stall and just leave the bathroom. You cannot do that, bro. I don't care what you were doing in there. You cannot do that. You touched something that had, if you didn't doo-doo, you touched something that had doo-doo on it.
Right.
So
you touch the stall. You touch the stall.
Yeah, which has doo-doo on it.
Right. There's all type of doo-doo microbes and crust and crumbs that are flying through the air when you flush
it. Exactly.
That are not yours. They're foreign doo-doo microbes.
Right.
You got to watch that.
Yo, man, there's this chick that works at the job, and I was hearing that, she's a baker, and she makes good desserts, and she was tooting her own horn. And one of the black folks was like, nigga, don't you eat that motherfucking cake, because she be having all types of cat hair and all she got a whole goddamn cat inside that motherfucking cake, nigga. If you like cat hair, nigga, that's the cake to eat, nigga. Because she's got the hairiest cake in the world. No pause, nigga. I'm talking about slices of hair. Ah, fuck you. Get away.
You got the hairiest cake.
Hair. Is that coconut? No, nigga. That's cat hair.
It's cat hair seasonings. It's my own recipe. Oh,
why?
Want some cheesecake? Meow.
That's hilarious. I have two more rants. One, can we get back to just saying happy birthday? I don't want to say happy born day. I don't want to say happy birth anniversary. I don't want to say happy release from the uterus anniversary, happy placenta day. Happy birthday is sufficient.
Yeah.
I saw the explanation for happy born day. I'm not buying it. You were born, yes. And so it would be like born anniversary. So I get so irritated seeing. I get so irritated seeing all this stuff, and it's like, I don't know. I know that's old me talking, but
is it supposed to be like a deeper version?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like because you were technically born on that day and not born.
God.
So it's like, I don't know.
Well, born and birth is the same thing
in my mind, but they're making a distinction about it. So, and you only have one birthday, so you can only celebrate your born day after that.
Oh, shut up, guys.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
Exactly. Yeah. And last, I think we got to get rid of these balloon popping dating games. These are psychological warfare in the term of dating shows. I have seen some just diabolical balloons being popped
on. As soon as a nigga walk out, it sounds like a motherfucking shootout.
Right.
If you walk into the room, nigga, and it sounds like Harlem in 1983 during the crack era on a block, it's ridiculous.
It's horrible. It's horrible. Like, I'm looking at the people's faces and I'm like, man, this is not cool. And then it's even worse when someone has not popped a balloon and the contestant goes over and pops their balloon. Wow. So it's like you held out to find out more information about them, but you said something that pissed them off. So they were like, but I think these are cruel games. These are very cruel games.
You know you ugly. You're ugly. Come on.
I think it's entertaining. I mean, because it's no longer about trying to really find love. This is about trying to, you're trying to disrespect. Because why are you popping your balloon? You got
someone's
dignity. You have a hump. Don't pop your balloon. You need a date. Mm. If you've got a hump, don't pop your balloon.
But and some of this is like the group think, right? So if you hear a balloon pop, you might just pop on instinct. Like, I don't want to be the one necessarily holding a balloon.
I don't even think they're really there to date. I think it's like any other reality TV show.
I hope so.
Because it's too fun. It's too fun.
But it's so foul. It's so foul.
And you keep watching. That's why.
Well, I stopped watching because I was like, I feel like I'm looking at people with their face being crushed. And I'm like, I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want to add to this.
But I can't look away.
I'm not really sure why any guy would go on that show.
One guy actually got this woman. I felt like he kind of set her straight because he said something like, he asked her, do you think you're the prize? And she said, yeah, I'm the prize. And he said, you're the prize to men who want to date you. I'm the prize to women who want to date me. I was like, okay, that's a great point. Because everybody is the creme de la creme in their mind, right? So, and he basically was saying, I would never date you. But I just think that type of discourse is akin to what if I'm really being honest with you, and I was watching some of it today, this is some of the spawn from Kevin Samuels.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole, I've watched it with a different lens today. I still think some of the things that he was saying were just outrageous, but some of it not so bad. It's just the way he was saying some of the things was outrageous. Yeah, it was delivery.
I think when you're intentionally mean to someone, it's just bad.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. This show seems like it's in that same spirit. And lastly, I will leave you with some comical relief. How many trans women does it take to turn up a New York City train car?
Four.
Three?
Four is the magic number. I was riding back home, matter of fact, the first time we went out, Ben, and I'm a little tipsy, and I'm looking at these four trans women basically create the club. Like, everybody is listening to their music. There are people dancing with them. Right. They actually said that to a grandmother who was sitting down, who got on the train and was like, are you a grandmother? You better work it, bitch. You don't look like a grandmother.
You better work it, bitch.
And she had that look like, should I be offended? But it was a straight party on it. I was just like still buzzing, like trying to like, okay, I need to just not move so I don't become part of the show. Because anybody who walked past them became a part of the show.
Mm. Yeah.
But they got off at 125th and they took the party with them.
What you looking at, glasses?
Right, pretty much, pretty much.
Bald head, glasses, nigga. What you looking at?
Nothing.
I would have been carrying East Side West Man so fast. Are you talking to me? Well, but no, they were a lot of fun. But yeah, it does take four, just so you know. With that, that's my check, and this is Leon, and I'm done speaking.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's good, people? This is your boy, L.O., the man with more AKAs than the Black Campus. If you like this show, then make sure you subscribe to Decoding 40 on IG, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok.
Decoding 40.
It's Bracka time.
Bracka?
Yeah. So, as always, with America, never fails to disappoint. We had one of our Congress people from Florida make an outrageous analogy or use of historical reference. Byron Douglas from Florida, in a speech that he was giving on a roundtable, a panel discussion that he was having in Philadelphia, of all places. Mm. Suggesting that the Black household was more intact in terms of marriages during the Jim Crow era in the South. So I have so many problems with Byron, but he is consistently the one Black person who makes these outrageous claims. I was trying to find the other one that he made that had me really like ready to blow my top, but he is definitely the go-to coon that either media or the GOP uses in order to put these crazy narratives out and basically gaslight people into having to choose between their dignity or sort of let these sort of narratives wash off their back, because it's only going to last for like one or two news cycles, but it's like within those cycles, it becomes very high fever pitched. And then I think what happens is there's a cumulative effect that now the next time he says something, this just builds into that whole mythology about Black people faring better when they were more subjugated. What say you about
this Uncle Ruckus? Motherfuckers get on my motherfucking nerves.
They really do.
He's Bracka. He's a Black cracker. And
please give the full definition of a Bracker.
A Bracker is a Black person, Negro, Uncle Tom, coon, as you would say, who identifies with his oppressor to the point where he says ridiculous shit that even some white folks go, did he just say that? Yes, that is who this motherfucker is. First of all, as a Black person, person of color even, don't use the word Jim Crow and associate it with it was an okay time. Like, don't use that with a statistic. You don't even say this shit, because everybody knows the word itself and that time in history itself, outside of Black folks, it was a second slavery in a sense.
And I forgot to mention, the other piece that he added to this was he was suggesting that Black people was voting more conservatively during the Jim Crow era. What he fails to acknowledge is that Black people were prohibited from voting under Jim Crow.
Right, so, he forgot that part.
Yeah, he forgot that part. And I said this in the chat. I don't like the fact that this dude is so coonerific that he pretends that he cares about the Black experience and Black families when he, just like a lot of them, have chosen a white woman to start their families and build their families. Mm. So you're not that concerned with the plight of the Black family, but you're using this as a way to, I think, put a wedge between or make one of these what do you call it, more hot button topics and these societal wedges to push people further apart.
I don't think I don't think he was talking to us at all. He was talking to white conservatives that have some tinge of guilt about what is happening amongst Black people, and he was saying, well, under Jim Crow we were doing better. That was what he was there for. That's why he got the pat on the head after his vote.
Good boy, Brownie.
He did a good job. He did what he was supposed to do. And now him and Tim Scott are fighting to see who's going to be the biggest coon.
Yeah.
Tim Scott's like, I'm ready to eat a watermelon on TV. Watch me. I'll eat watermelon and chicken at the same time.
They are racing to the top of Coon Mountain, and they will not be denied. Like, it is tragic to see what they are willing to, how they're willing to degrade themselves in order to curry favor with the GOP and particularly with 45.
For some false sense of power, because they'll never give you power. If they're able to do that to you, if they're able to take your manhood, if they're able to do that to you, do you think that you're really going to have any kind of power? They're not handing you anything. You're just there to, you're a lackey that's there to do a job. You're a servant. You're the best butler they have.
Full power is better than no power, boss.
Listen, it's a castration without physically removing the genitalia, right? Because that was something that was done during the Jim Crow era,
right?
It would fucking castrate black men. They didn't matter if you had a fucking, if you just came back from the war with a chest full of ribbons, they hung you, they disemboweled you, they did all those things to you. And these motherfuckers, see, the equivalent is the white senator or a congressman who gets elected in these poor white communities and does absolutely nothing to help his own fucking people. Right. It's the same thing. It's like all of these politicians, black and white, they have no shame anymore. They're sold out to the highest bidder. It's just more hurtful when you see a black person do it because, motherfucker, it was hard enough for you to get elected. And now you're going to say some even more repugnant shit or he's basically playing to his base, because I don't think there's probably a black person who voted for him.
My thing is he's willing to take it there. That's the part that
they're all
mind boggling to me. Is mind
they're all doing it though.
I mean, I know Scott, these other cats, the dude Vernon out in Georgia,
the one guy running for governor in North Carolina, who is
right. We'll get to Clarence Thomas as well, but I mean, this is so problematic.
I think Tim and Byron had zero chance of winning an election on the progressive side because they're not. They're not that talented. They're probably not that smart. But the GOP they were casting for the role of Coon. And they showed up and they read the lines.
Mm-hmm.
They read the lines just as they were supposed to do. And
sign my voucher, boss.
But they're not there to speak to us at all. They're not there as representatives of us or anything. They're just there to make those that are already on the GOP feel like, well, this black person says that it's okay, so it must be okay.
They need these niggas to basically give their own cognate dissidents a thumbs up.
Right.
Right.
That's exactly right.
It's to absolve themselves of any guilt that they have, because they just need an example. It doesn't have to be right, because it clearly isn't. It just has to be something. They have to be able to turn and see a black face say it and go, you know what? I can't say it, but he said it,
and that makes it okay.
Yes,
and I actually watched the interview that Byron had with Joy Reid last week, and she eviscerated him, and she didn't even really get to the white meat, no pun intended. But
Was his wife on the panel?
No. No.
Oh, the other white meat. Gotcha.
The other white meat. But her and Ellie Mostow had a segment after she talked to Byron, and they really just made the point that there is money to be made in this grift, and white folks will pay handsomely to have this black face out on these airwaves talking like this.
Yes.
Because this is Donald. This is Candace, Kundis. This is Scott. This is all of them who will sit up on a television. Thomas Sowell, the economist, will sit up and talk about and will denigrate black people as if they are not black and find every way possible to reassure white people that they're okay.
I meant to say cognitive dissonance, just to correct that term. But there's just a certain type of people in this case who happen to be black that will sell their soul for the highest bidder, and it doesn't matter. And they could put a script in their hand. They could literally paint their faces even blacker with the fucking lips and everything, and they'd be fine with it. They would be fine with it. It's like
but
that.
There's movie money in it, but it's not like they're not making any money. They are making,
Money. Lots of money.
I think
I get it.
Byron is up to like $2 million, and he's always complaining, what do the Bidens do? Dog, what do you do? You're a politician. How are you up to $2 million now? But before you came into, you didn't have $2 million as a politician. I mean, before you became a politician.
Oh, I struggle with the idea, because I guess money is not a motivator for me. Like money is never going to be the thing that's going to make me compromise myself. That's not going to be.
They're getting money and access, though. They're getting money and access.
Very limited.
I'm at the whole white party.
Very limited.
It's not. I mean, they're in the halls of Congress, right? I mean, Kunis, she actually sat before Congress, right? So she's in the books as far as the history will be told.
No, I totally get that. And as that's part of what I was saying before, it's like they're never going to give you the real power. They will give you more power and access than you would have gotten if you didn't do
right.
This. Yes.
Now you're the better Negro, and that's what their carrot is.
I want to remind them that your children are going to see you. Your grandchildren are going to see you.
The children will be half white.
Yeah, they won't care.
You know, this is like the movie The Matrix.
They hope that they won't care. They hope that they won't care. Because history...
Have you seen Herschel Walker's son?
Yes, I have. And I saw what he was before, and I saw what he was when he was running.
Walker's son what?
Herschel Walker's son is ultra-Republican, ultra-conservative.
Yes.
He only just hates his father. That's why he came out against his dad.
That's what I'm saying. Your children are going to see you.
No, but if you listen to his politics.
His politics is his politics. I get it. His politics is his politics. But your children are going to see you. And if this
he hates his dad because his dad was a deadbeat dad.
Yeah.
These guys are in their children's lives. So they're not going to hate them from that perspective, from being a deadbeat dad. They're going to embrace them and embrace their ideology is what I'm suggesting.
Maybe. I think they're going to hate their parents anyway. I think they are. they're going to be the dark skinned kid in an all white school, more than likely, who are going to have identity issues, and they're eventually going to go to a university where there's going to be
fucked up hairlines.
there's going to be a more diverse, maybe, unless they go to BYU. I don't know. Maybe they're going to do that. But they're going to go out into the world and they're going to be seen as what they are. And they're going to be seen as half black. They're not going to be seen as half white. They're going to be seen as half black. They're going to be seen as black kids. They will be judged by what their parents do in the world. I'm just saying. It's going to be your kids. It's going to be your grandkids. It's going to be in the history books. You're right. She is in the history books. And it's not going to be favorable.
I'm going to leave it with this. I recently just was watching The Matrix again, and these Brackers and Boons, what you call them?
I call them Bonkies.
Bonkies.
Yeah.
Bonkies and Brackers, right? Now,
Honkies. Black Honkies.
Black Honkies. Yeah. All of these people we speak of are like the character Cypher in the movie The Matrix, that he was willing to sell everybody out, his own people out, just as long as he can be reinserted. And I want it, when you reinsert me, I want to be rich. And that is likened to, once I make this speech, you're going to let me into the club. You're going to let me, you give me some, even if it's limited access.
Yep.
I want to be the only nigga in the room, right? Yep. I want to be the only coon in the room. I want to be able to rub elbows and look at white women and whatever the fuck they're into or they want. As long as you let, I'm going to sell my people out. I'm going to do all the things that you want me to do, but give me what I want. Insert me into the Matrix, being their society, and make me someone that is respected at the very least. And that's what they give. They get the illusion that's the Matrix. They get the illusion of the respect.
No one respects them. Not us, not them. It doesn't matter
because that's how they feel.
Children. No one respects them. That's the sad part. I know how they feel, but the truth is the Republicans that are trotting them out to be the black representative don't respect them. We don't respect them. Their children don't respect them. As long I don't know who's going to. Maybe their wives respect them. Maybe.
The wives is probably pegging them. You know what time it is. Turn around.
All right. On that note, moving into the next segment, For the Love of Money. No, I'm just joking. Decoding 40. Clarence Thomas has reported that he's accepted more than $4 million in gifts throughout his career on the Supreme Court. He has since acknowledged additional luxury travel he accepted from conservative billionaire Harlan Crowe. He has since amended a previous financial disclosure to reflect trips to an Indonesian island and a secretive all-male club in the Northern California Redwoods called the Bohemian Grove. If you get a chance, I encourage you all to look at the graph of all of the most recent Supreme Court justices. And it shows basically how much they've been given in terms of monetary gifts or the value of that. At most, the closest one is Justice Scalia, who may have tipped $200,000 in disclosure.
Wow.
Everybody else is under 50. Sotomayor, she doesn't even rate on the graph. This one justice has raked in, and this is what he's disclosed, more than $4 million.
How many duffel bags of money has he received where it was literally a duffel bag?
Bro, this is
he's a scumbag.
And to be given this money from people who have interests in front of the court is outrageous.
Yeah, we need to start checking these accounts.
That's a fact. But she doesn't have to disclose it because she's not a public figure. But
what, his old ugly ass wife?
Yeah. If Congress, who is acting very feckless, needs to really start investigating this and get to the bottom of this,
because they don't want to point fingers because there's four pointing back at them with all the fucking dirt that they fucking do.
And this is what we're talking about. Crooked. Like, are we living under a democracy or a hypocrisy?
A hypocrisy. Clearly,
all day, every day,
all fucking day. Matter of fact, we don't even vote anymore. The leaders are picked. Voting is an illusion. I think they've been fixing the vote before Trump started talking about it. Elections have been stolen. They've been doing that for a long time. And these people are put into play for a bigger picture. And you look at what's going on with the support of Israel and their whole. The genocide that's happening, and everyone in Congress and everybody's kind of turning their eyes. Most of them are turning their heads and acting like it's not fucking happening, that they're not blowing up tents of babies. And they're going, well, we don't see anything because they're being given millions and millions and millions of dollars to vote, to extend, to give them more money. They just gave Israel over $100 billion. Like, give me a fucking break. Same thing that's happening. Same thing with Ukraine, too. They gave them $300 billion, and all the senators and congressmen who are voting to send that money, they're getting money from special interests. Special interests run the government, period.
That is,
this whole illusion of choice and voting, and every once in a while they throw a little bone, well, they'll give them the student loans so they can think that we're doing something. How many fucking hundreds and trillions of dollars does it take to make a fucking jet or whatever for all the money that goes to the military-industrial complex?
Yeah. Yeah,
I agree with you in that it is a setup. The whole vote is a setup. But I don't think that they're stealing elections. They're just giving you the choice between two people who are going to do the exact same thing to you.
Yeah,
they're just going to do it in different ways. Yeah. They're just going to service their corporate masters, and we get fucked.
To the victors go the spoils.
Last week when we were going to record, in my check-in, I was going to go in on Eric Adams over this whole congestion pricing. And I know that he's not the head of the MTA, but he is the mayor of New York City. Since then.
And he supported the initiative.
Yes.
So there's that. Yeah.
But since then, the governor of New York State, Kathy Hochul, pulled the plug on the congestion pricing. Now, you could have done this the entire time, right? The mayor of New York, he's going to tell you, oh, the MTA, they were putting this initiative in place, blah, blah, blah. You're the mayor of New York City. If you're really working for the people, you can shut that down.
Of course.
You can make that not happen.
But he didn't want it. He wanted it.
He did, because he's a pussy.
Oh,
you're a pussy.
He's getting money.
You're pussy, Eric Adams.
I'm still on the fence about calling people pussy because pussy is enjoyable, and calling somebody who is an asshole a pussy. Maybe he's an asshole. Sorry.
He's a turd. He's a turd.
He's a turd. He's a turd.
There's nothing good about turds.
You're right. I was calling him pussy because he's soft, turd. But it is also good and soft. No. You're a turd. I'll make him a turd. That's soft.
He's a turd.
Yeah, that's soft. And it's
soft turd.
And he stinks. And he's an asshole. He's a festering turd. He's a turd after $200 worth of Mexican food.
He presented himself to the public.
Wait, hold on. He's a turd. After you eat that Jamaican food over by Bed and Buy.
Oh, yeah. Trust me.
Oh, what happened?
Bubble guts.
No, remember last time we went over
last time I ate that shit?
You had the jerk chicken?
Fucking,
where?
Goddamn cab home.
Over by Bed and Buy.
We went to Bedvine one time and they had Jamaican food outside, the jerk chicken.
Oh,
and I had
he was plate, there.
And that shit destroyed my stomach.
There was like somebody cooking outside?
Yeah.
You were there. Why don't you remember?
That's right.
Fucking Lyft home and get the fuck out of there before it was an accident.
Sorry. Another side note. So there's a waitress who's actually delivering, or she works at the restaurant. She's delivering food to the patrons who are outside. This dude goes, I hope you didn't eat the jerk and chicken, the jerk chicken.
That's what I said. Yo, she came out with
the
plate. I didn't know she was a server. I thought she had just gotten a plate and was about to go sit down and eat. And I was like, yo, I hope you didn't get the jerk chicken. She's like, did you order the jerk chicken? Like she, and I was about to just blow. And then Elle goes, no, she's the waitress. And I was like, oh shit, good thing. Cause I was about to be like, don't eat the jerk chicken because you might shit yourself. Hope you got on the diaper.
She was like, is he ordering or is he telling me not to get this?
Yeah.
Oh, don't get started. Digress.
So Eric Adams, you are a soft turd. You know why? I'm when he first was running for mayor, I had support for him. I think I got into arguments with L on this show.
You did, absolutely.
Give the man a chance, because I was remembering the 100 black men in law enforcement, Eric Adams, and his whole platform was fighting the police from annual police. You testified against the police. Okay. You sound like a friend of mine. Now you get into office because you presented yourself as someone from Brooklyn. He's of the people. He's by the people. And you get into office and you get on some fuck shit.
You're shiny suits.
What did they give you, bro? Or what do they have on you?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why this investigation into him is not going as well as it could. Maybe they're slowing it down because there's no way you could allow the MTA to further squeeze regular people in this city who are already being squeezed by every market.
Every corner of the city.
Every corner is squeezing. You know, and you're saying, okay, now you're letting the MTA do it.
Right.
And this is
the middle class.
And you know what's even worse is that when you say the MTA, you think the MTA is in the five boroughs and it being local. The board that basically does all this is not even in New York City. They're upstate. The majority of the board that is the majority of the people who are on the MTA board, first of all, are white and men, and the other are white women. And there's maybe one or two people of color on that whole fucking board. They don't even live in the city. So it doesn't affect them. So they don't give a fuck.
Right. Because they're not riders, and no, they're not drivers.
They don't give a shit. And what's even worse is that they talked about, it's going to affect people, but the backlash that's even worse that they really didn't even research on is every delivery that comes in that zone is going to charge an additional $15 or whatever it is to each customer.
Right.
And the thing is that, so now you have a delivery truck. It's got to make arbitrary, let's say 10 deliveries in that zone. Now, the company's only going to pay that in the zone fee one time, but they're charging 10 people that $15 fee. So not only are they stealing money from the people, but this is a cash cow.
Mm-hmm.
It turns into a cash cow for these companies. And nobody thought about that.
No, they thought about it.
What was egregious?
They were looking forward to that. They were licking their chops. They were like, oh, corporations got to rape the people. Now it's our turn.
Yeah.
Now it's our
Adams,
turn.
is on record saying, oh, I know you're not talking about the people on the West Side complaining in the 60s. They can afford it. What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. You're not talking about, but people have to, if you're going into the city, more than likely your business is below the 60s.
Yeah,
that's right. You go down to Wall Street. That's where all the records are kept. Everything is down there. So you got to go through that area and pay $15 just to get downtown.
But I'm saying, how callous is it to say, I don't care how much money you think I have.
Yeah. Get your hands out of my pocket.
Right. You just arbitrarily going to tell me, oh, I can afford it because I live in a certain section of the city.
It's wild.
And they don't, they have no qualms about pressuring people further.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to hurt the middle and lower class the most because people have to do certain things. They have to go to a doctor's appointment. They have to drive through lower Manhattan to drop their kids off and then go to their job in the Bronx. They have to do these things. And you're putting that additional pressure on people. And for what? Because I'm telling you, with these MTA, the MTA wants to fill their coffers with more money so they can distribute contracts that they're probably getting
their friends
a little. Yeah, they're getting a little, what do they call it? A kickback.
Yeah.
They're getting kickbacks on that because they're upstate. Nobody's watching them.
Yeah.
Two sets of books or three.
More than that. And the thing is that the reason why Hochul and Adams are looking the other way, because when the state needs money or Hochul needs money or whatever, any of those cocksuckers need money, the first thing they do is go into those coffers and they take that money and they it's under the guise of something else. We need to build a bridge or we need to repair this bridge. And the contract is going to be to the lowest bid. And they'll say, oh, we'll do it in 3 years for $10 million. And it ends up taking 10 years and they wind up making $100 million on the job.
Oh, yeah.
And meanwhile, and they know that's going to take longer than that they say, but they give it to them anyway. And they take their fucking cuts. They're all pieces of shit.
I remember back when you were working for MTA, they were building a new headquarters, I think, in downtown Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. That they never
finished. The initial bid was $150 million, something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, still a lot of money.
Yeah.
They had not completed it, and the budget was now at $450 million.
I think the last tally was, because I don't think they ever really completed it. I think the last thing was like, they were up to like $370 million at the time.
Wow.
Because I remember that particular number stuck in my head because it was around contract time and we were threatening the strike and all this shit. And they were at $370 million, way over budget. And then the board voted to give themselves raises.
But here's the most criminal thing about that, I thought, because the guy they hired to oversee the building of that was under indictment at the time in New Jersey because of his mob ties.
Forget about it.
Don't even look into
it. Don't even fucking look at it. Forget about it. It's a fugazi.
What are you doing? And you tell me you need money. Yeah. You need my money?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to something more cheery. If I'm hosting, you know that what that means. It's time for What's the Scenario?
Welcome back to another segment of What's the Scenario?
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
This week, this is a husband and a wife. My wife digs up her nose like she's digging for gold. A couple of times, I caught her rolling boogers around in between her fingers. She blows her nose while we're eating at the table. She also chews gum with her mouth open.
She must be
and
white.
And you can see all of her food.
She white.
All of this...
She definitely white.
All of this has been gently discussed with her during the 3 years we've been together. She's constantly picking in her nose when she is driving. She is 38 years old
and white.
She works in corporate, so she's definitely around professional people all the time. Right. I'm sure she's sick and tired of me mentioning it, but I told her if I was doing something that was not proper etiquette or just plain disgusting, that I wouldn't mind her gently correcting me. And yes, I do feel if we break up and she starts dating someone else, she will be on her best behavior. I feel downright disrespected now because I feel she doesn't give a damn. What should I do?
First of all, did you know this was you was dating the booger bitch? Did you know you was dating booger bitch? Because, like, son, you wasn't sitting on a couch, like, why is all these scratchy parts of the couch? Like, why? Like, when you drove her car and you went to adjust the seat, there was nothing under the seat. Like, what is going on? Why was you didn't know you was dating booger?
Mm.
You never saw her do that? Like,
used
I don't
to be a prom
no
queen.
One, no,
now you're just a booger fiend.
I think she was probably on her best behavior
for
a
that
while.
Long? And when Look, she when she's he said, obviously I been knew, eating. She was like, yep, I do too. Third knuckle.
She's been eating boogers since she was a kid.
That's what I thought of. That's immediately what I thought.
This is a lifelong booger eater, and you're not going to change her. So you either got to decide. How do you kiss her?
Right.
No. No. How do you kiss her?
How do you hold her hand? How do you get into bed with her? Because I'm sure she's wiping her snot on the sheets.
I can hold her hand.
You could hold her hand?
I can hold her hand. It's a booger. Okay. Look, I think once you have.
Excuse me, I don't wash my hands effect.
I can wash my hands. I can hold her hand and then go wash my hands.
So but, if your wife, okay, so you're telling me.
If she's got, I'm saying she's eating her boogers, how are you going to kiss her?
Okay,
her hand is, everything, hand's external. I can do that. It's fine.
Oh, my
God. But it's in my mouth.
Ugh.
Booger bitch.
No. So what would you tell him?
I would tell this motherfucker, run. Run. Are you kidding me? And I'm going to the divorce lawyer like I'm irreconcilable booger differences. Nigga, like, what the fuck are we doing? This bitch picks her nose constantly. It's disgusting. Irreconcilable booger differences. She's a booger.
She's a booger bitch.
Yo, she gives a new meaning to snotty.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fuck.
This sounds like a deal breaker.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's just gross. You're not turned on by her. She's disgusting. She's
right. I'm trying to figure out why this got passed.
Like because you see, there was first of all,
it was cute.
It was the first time you saw the shit,
and then she was really
not with that.
It was the first time you saw it. And you go, did she have a booger? And you go, hey, babe, did you really just do that? Did what? Pick your fucking nose and eat it, you fucking repugnant broad. What the fuck is wrong with you, booger?
But he clearly didn't say that, though.
The other day, I'm at the stoplight, right? And it's a very sunny day. And I can clearly see in my rearview mirror the person that's behind me because she's sitting in a beam of sunlight. And all I see her doing is picking her nose, rolling the boogers, and then putting them in her mouth. Switches hands, goes to the next nostril, roly poly, and she is in her own world.
Like, so you actually saw this woman.
I'm staring at her in my rearview mirror.
Is she a white?
No, I'm talking about the woman from the scenario.
Was she a white?
I swear, maybe it was her.
Was she a white or was she Indian?
She wasn't Indian.
Okay, because Indian people, they.
I don't know if she's white, but she was not Indian.
Whoa.
That's not racist.
That's not racist.
She was driving a minivan, and I think she might have been an acidic lady.
But
she was young.
We hopped into racism, but I want Vince.
No. Because if I could say whites do it, Indians do it too. Like, you've never seen Indian people do that shit?
Look, everybody picks boogers.
Right.
I pick boogers.
Everybody
just
picks their nose. But if you're eating them, that's something else.
You're saying if you're eating them, she's probably a white woman or an Indian woman.
No, this is racist.
Right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Come on.
Because we went to elementary school and there were definitely booger eaters.
I remember distinctly the girl who used to eat the boogers.
People do listen, kids do nasty shit, but you know it's wrong.
Not if you like
that's like the
not if it feels right.
That's like the videos of you seeing a grown ass woman digging her ass and then smell it, or a grown ass man who digs in his ass and smells it.
But you is do
you're an ass digger.
Yes,
you're a sniffer.
I don't think you should do that. I don't think you should eat
no,
your
nose.
But no, I'm just saying, more sanitary. Wouldn't that be more sanitary? Wouldn't that be more sanitary?
What's more sanitary?
To scratch and sniff rather than eat your boogers.
No,
for the love of money.
No, because if you
would you rather scratch your ass for $1 million and sniff it, or eat your boogers? That's fucking nasty. All of it.
I'm just saying, we know people do it. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I saw a dude on the street scratch, sniff, look back at me as if he to see if anybody saw him. I clearly saw him.
Oh, he had a free freaked out. Because he turned around like, I hope nobody saw and then made eye contact.
Exactly. He forgot where he was.
Nasty motherfucker. All right, so I'll retract my statement. Not all white and Indian people pick their nose.
Thank you.
Everybody picks their nose. But based on the story, I was thinking it's gotta be a white woman. When you said corporate,
it just so happened to be a Hasidic woman driving a minivan. And she was right behind me. And she was young. She was young.
Did she have a wig on?
I don't know. Yeah, it could have been.
What's happening at
there's
the
certain
office?
Groups of people that are just nasty like that. I'm sorry. It's not being if every time you see someone doing it and it happens to be that type of that color,
I didn't know it was going to all connect, but this sort of connects back to the conversation we were having earlier about washing hands and using the bathroom. So, I mean, there is a reoccurring theme. I'm not going to deny that
correlation.
There's definitely some simpatico.
That's right. Well, I'm just saying what I witnessed with my own. This is my own eyewitness account.
She was rolling them shits and popping in the mouth like it was Tic Tac.
Did you
like
see
Tic Tac?
The orange, like, apple juice. I think some of it got under her fingernail, and she made sure to get that too. Yeah. I was in awe because I was like, I really wish I could have recorded this because I can't even believe this is happening.
She was hungry.
That would have been great for IG.
No, but she, you can just tell, like, this is, she does this. When she gets bored in the car, this is what she does.
And that's the person that you never eat anything she brings to pot.
Right,
nigga. Nah, I'm good. Listen, Sarah, I'm good.
You got cat hair cake and booger,
booger casserole.
Yeah.
You at least got to have some shame. You only do that, Sarah, when you think nobody's looking, when you're by yourself. I mean, at least have some shame. You can't sit next to your partner and do that.
Right.
That's weird.
At the dinner table.
She's nasty. She's nasty.
That's like, you wouldn't excuse yourself to blow your nose at the dinner table?
It's nasty.
That is. All right. So I believe we have three. He needs to get the hell out of there.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of there, sir.
All right.
And listen, don't take any of your clothes. Matter of fact, go wash your clothes and dry them and leave them at Rick's laundromat. You don't want that.
I do have one solution.
Cash at me.
If you're listening, sir, when she's asleep, get yourself some Jamaican hot sauce and put it on the tips of her favorite booger finger. This should taper each night below on the tips of her favorite booger finger.
Wait.
And this should taper it off a little bit.
All right.
What's wrong, honey? She come out, her fucking fingers in the nose, fucking
nose flared up. Oh, all right, folks. Let us know what you would do if you were him, or what kind of advice you would give. Just send us a text. Actually, you know what? I thought about what I'm going to do. I am going to start up our threads, and then I'll put all of our questions in there, and we can do the polls there. So if you're not following us on IG, you have to in order to be able to participate. So look for us at Decoding 40 on IG, and then check out the weekly poll, or maybe
every other day. I don't know. It depends on how motivated I am or we get.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what? So what? So what's the scenario?
We have come to that golden moment of the show. What have you learned?
I ain't shaking nobody's hands. I'm giving fist bumps forever,
that's
nigga.
Best advice. Yeah, for real.
I'm up to the elbow, I think.
I'm just, yo, you know what? I must just start giving niggas a salute.
Salute. Right, Cap.
Salute. Because I don't have to touch you.
That is not a bad idea.
Salutes.
Somebody's going to reach out their hand and say, what up? And you'd be like, ew.
Nah, son. Here's a salute. What's up, Captain?
Alaric, what have you learned?
What have I learned? You know, people will be willing to do the most disgusting thing to themselves and to their legacies for a little money and a little access.
What they say, do a little something strange for a little change. Mm-hmm. I learned that you have to take at least 2 minutes to look yourself in the eye and just take stock of where you are in your life and be honest with yourself.
Be kind to yourself.
Be kind to yourself. And if you feel yourself overwhelmed, start to do some excavation and dig deeper and find out what exactly is driving that feeling.
Dig deeper, but not in your nose.
At least not in that hole. Pause. With that, thank you, gentlemen, for another great show. Ladies and gentlemen, we always want to thank you for participating in this rambunctious conversation. Please continue to reach out to us on our social media, Decoding 40 on all platforms. Again, it's decoding40pod.com. If you want to check out the website, go buy some merch. Let's see, what else am I forgetting? Oh, you want to text us? You want to call us? Give us a call at 609-940-4040. And if you want to send us an email, it's always decoding40@gmail.com. With that, we are going to get out of here and we will see you next time. But we leave you with one word and it is peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Decoding 40.